Have you ever had someone recommend something to you?
Have you ever asked for a recommendation for something?
Have you ever taken a recommendation you regretted?
Do you have something you want to recommend?
Welcome to
Recommended to Me by a Friend,
where we are taking recommendations and seeing how well they work with our lives.
We're on a mission to improve our time spent in all things and are looking to expand our horizons in arenas such as film and TV,
books,
food,
health and beauty,
music,
and adventure.
Come and see what happens when two artistics are exiled during a global pandemic and invite willing listeners to interfere with their lives. I'm Aubrey.
And I'm Leah. So bring on your recommendations!
Do it.
She'll kill you.
If there's time.
Do we get it?
Yeah. Okay, so, I just sat you down.
What the hell was that?
All right, so before we started recording, I said, Leah, come check this out. And I played her the video for Paula Abdul's duet with MC Scat Cat called Opposites Attract.
Yeah.
And I gave her absolutely no pretext. I said, Leah, come watch this. And she sat there, and every now and then she'd go, what am I? And I'd go, nope. Hang on. So, Leah, I kind of knew about this song, and I kind of knew a little bit about the video. And then I was at lunch, and I was like, you know what? I wish I knew more about that video. And I watched it, and I realized how much I didn't know. And a lot of questions have been just bubbling up in my mind for the better part of the afternoon. Here's something a real grown-up person that you know at their grown-up professional job is thinking. Is Paula Abdul sleeping with that cat? Are they
kind of the impression that was being given. No, it would be Pouncetown.
Pouncetown. Well, yeah, let's bring some class to there.
Yes. You know. It's cat. It makes sense.
A couple other questions. How on earth did they meet? And isn't it plainly obvious, as if some of the lyrics, he is clearly after her for her money. I don't know what she's doing with that cat.
Well, they definitely met through Tinder, as in, like, Tinder liver.
Right.
Chicken feast.
Okay. Well, I think I've horrified you enough. Hi, guys. Welcome back. I'm Aubrey.
And I'm Leah.
And this is
Recommended to Me by a Friend.
Let's get started. All right. So this week, what did we do? We watched Stranger Things.
Yes, we watched the first three episodes of Stranger Things, which I have watched many, many times.
And up until taking this recommendation, I had not.
So it was my personal recommendation to you because I feel like there's a handful of different TV shows because I'm kind of more of like a current TV aficionado because as an actor, I feel like I have to keep up with what's going on and the fact that I just personally enjoy it. And because this is one of my favorite current streaming television shows, I wanted you to be able to experience it as well and then tell me what you thought. And I knew it was something that you really hadn't gotten into and kind of really weren't all that interested in to begin with.
I was not, but I'm glad I took this recommendation. I was assigned the first three episodes, and do you know how many I watched?
I remember you called me, and I was very amused when you told me which episode you were on.
That is true. No, I did recognize a face. We'll leave it at that. But I will say this. I made it through.
I mean, it's filmed in Atlanta, so it's very easy, actually, to recognize faces. Because if you happen to know anybody at all that is even remotely in the film industry, even like who might be an extra or something like that, it's not particularly hard if you're in the area to become an extra on that show, or at least to put yourself out there to be an extra on that show. I remember I was up there when I was up there earlier this year, they were putting out, I was seeing notices for needing extras for the scene that was filming in season four of Stranger Things. And I was looking at it, I was like, I'm not doing anything that day. I should sign up. And then the pandemic happened. And it was like, well, dang it. My hopes and dreams.
Oh, we'll get there. Don't worry.
Hopes and dreams.
And instead of doing that, now you're sitting in a sound room with me talking about the show that you could have been on.
Did
it get too real?
No, it's fine. There is so much else out there right now.
Okay, here's the thing. Would any of the other fellow extras introduced you to MC Scat Cat?
Oh,
So while Leah tries to swallow her own face, we'll talk about a couple of things. Here's the deal. I am not the biggest sci-fi fan, largely because I had to deal with somebody who really likes sci-fi. And the thing is, I don't mind when people are like really, really into like sci-fi stuff, but I do have a problem when they get borderline violent.
Yeah, because you that's don't, not okay.
Because you don't know about all the sci-fi things, like you get something wrong, and you're like, I just don't want to be involved at all in this kind of world. But I'll tell you this, since that person's not in my life anymore, I was able to really, I mean, it took a good couple of years to really take this suggestion seriously. So I sat and I watched it. I do have some notes, which we'll get into, but it was interesting enough. It didn't leave that much of an impression. Like,
you never said what episode you watched, which you were on.
I watched the first three.
You watched the first three, and then you said,
I made it through the first season.
Good.
And I got to the point where Dustin has the little visitor. And I knew something right away was going to happen. I was like, I don't want to be a part of that. And the thing is,
I'll tell you what, I will rewatch that episode and I'll tell you. And then that way you can decide if you want to be a part of it or not.
It's a little bit. Anyway, but
it gets darker as the seasons go on because the story is progressing and we're learning more about the Upside Down and we're learning more about Hawkins and its connection to the Upside Down and all the various creatures that are coming out of the Upside Down and all the holes in the... Anyway, we learn more about Eleven and her powers and actually how strong she really is. Like, she's a badass girl, but she's also really... She's also a really, really sweet girl. So that's been through a lot. And yeah, it's a really, really good story. It's not just a bunch of sci-fi.
And I did get that. I will be real honest. Before I watched the whole season, I watched the first three episodes and I was like, okay. And then I waited, I don't know, a day. And I was like, oh, because I knew we were going to talk about it. And I was like, maybe I should just rewatch it. And I rewatched that. And then I was doing other things. I was working on a Christmas present for a friend of mine. And I was like, well, okay, I'm invested enough to where I can follow this. And we're
so you crafted a Netflixed. Instead of Netflix and chill, that's the...
Fun fact.
The single version.
Fun fact.
Crafted and Netflixed.
I did not know what Netflix and chill meant. I thought it legit meant to, like, watch Netflix and just chill out. As it turns out, there's some kind of sexual connotation.
Oh, yeah.
I was unaware of.
Double entendre.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that until...
Until you Netflix and chilled?
No. No.
That's a hell of a way to find out.
I was looking up a GIF, however you say that. GIF, GIF. I recommend that someone tell me which one it is.
It's pronounced peanut butter.
Peanut butter. Jelly. Peanut butter.
Jelly. And jelly. Da, 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 da. We're not good at jingles. Anyway.
Okay, so I was looking up a GIF, and I think I just wanted to write Netflix and chill. This, my naive brain, literally wanted to write that and didn't know what I was writing. And it came up with so many little pictures of, like, a cat licking a banana. A random cucumber and, like, a bunch of stuff that should not go together. But then when you look at it and you look at it for what it is, you realize and you understand what you're actually typing. And you go, oh, well, now I understand. That explains why nobody responded correctly when I said Netflix and chill.
It does make you think. Immediately when I found that, I was like, how many people have I said that, have I used that phrase in front of?
And then...
I'll tell you a story, just a real quick tangent. I was in high school. Like, my high school years were, like, finishing up. Yeah. That's not a secret. Everyone knows that. I went to high school. It's a thing. Anyway, the point is, right around the time, Green Day's Boulevard of Broken Dreams was, like, everywhere. Okay? Mm-hmm. And I remember singing along thinking there were just some of the dumbest lyrics ever. But danged if they weren't catchy. It just didn't make any sense. And finally, I was like, you know what? I didn't write the song. It clearly means something to somebody. Whatever. And the lyrics actually are... I can't look at you when I say this. Sometimes I wish someone up there will find me. Till then I walk alone. And knowing that it is stupid. Knowing that it didn't make any sense. I both thought and sang along in front of people. Sometimes I wish... A lonely bear will find me to end my walk alone. And here in my mind, I was like, I put enough thought into it. Or I'm like, okay, it's like a lonely bear. So maybe like the bear is lonely And you guys could be friends, and then you wouldn't have to walk alone. Or more likely, the bear will eat you, and it will also end your walk alone. The point is, suddenly it put out all these things.
It's like The Revenant meets Pooh Bear, and it's strange.
I mean, I think the movie was, you know, not as good for it. But the point is, Netflix and chill apparently has a whole new connotation. Just kind of walking it back a little bit there. I didn't know about. So, you know, everybody that I've invited to Netflix and chill only know that I'm in it for half of you, you know? Like, but I'm going to leave that up for interpretation. And since it's an audio, not a visual podcast, wink! Yeah, that's how I did that. I am not.
They believe that.
I'm not good at flirting.
Well, clearly, not through an audio format, you are not. So this is why you don't do phone flirts.
This is not why, but it's, yeah. Anyway, the point is...
Back to Stranger Things.
I think that was Stranger Things.
It was definitely Stranger Everything.
Okay.
And all the things.
All right, so into the process at hand, or the episodes at hand.
So Stranger Things was established in 2016 by the Duffer Brothers. It stars Finn Wolfhard, Winona Ryder, Millie Bobby Brown. Please forgive me, Millie Bobby Brown. You're awesome. And
maybe off that Christmas card list.
David Harbour. Okay. Among the, of like the four main characters. And then we will talk about the others as we go along. But, yeah, we know Winona Ryder is it Winona or Winona?
I think it's Winona.
Winona. Well, technically, random trivia. I'm not sure if this is 100% true, but I remember growing up hearing this trivia that apparently, so Johnny Depp dated Winona Ryder after they were both in Edward Scissorhands together, and he got a tattoo that said Winona, and then when they broke up, changed it to Wino.
Wino?
Yeah.
I believe I have heard that, yeah.
Which I think is hilarious.
Well, whatever. But no, I will say this. I went in with fresh eyes. I didn't want to know anything about it going in. Mm-hmm. I wanted to come in as, I don't know, just like fresh, like, as possible in this. And then it gets
fresh to death.
Thanks. I wanted to come into this with, like, a clean slate, no preformed opinion, so I didn't want to do, like, a lot of research. The only thing I knew for sure was it had something to do with some kind of, like, sci-fi element. And that guy, the kid from Danny Don't You Know, was in it.
Yes, that's Finn Wolfhard.
Yes, that's all I knew going in. But here's what's interesting. Got to the point, it's the first episode, whenever they realized that Will is missing.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me a minute, and I was like, holy crap, is that Winona Ryder?
Yeah.
That's Winona freaking Ryder.
Yeah.
And just the thing about Winona Ryder is she never disappoints.
Mm-mm.
But a lot of times her roles, especially like from the 90s, get sort of swept up in this nostalgia goggles.
It's
like
true.
Beetlejuice and Edward Scissorhands.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of get stuck in this nostalgia goggles thing for me. And I forget what a good actress she is.
Okay, so fun fact. I was raised in a relatively somewhat sheltered bubble. Like some things were allowed that other kids raised in sheltered environments weren't allowed. Like, we did Harry Potter. We did all that stuff, very much so. But then there were things like Beetlejuice that I didn't watch until literally, I'm not kidding, like, a month ago.
Hmm.
But then I watched it, and I watched it with adult eyes, and I went, nope, I kind of get it. I do kind of get it, because there's some F-bombs in there. There's some stuff in there that I can see why my parents didn't want me to watch it. So it's okay. But Edward Scissorhands, I've enjoyed for a long time. But I guess since I didn't enjoy it until I was much older, I don't have the nostalgia goggles for it. So for me, it's just, oh, it's Winona Ryder. Cool.
Well, okay, here's the thing.
That's about where it falls.
Here's the thing about Winona Ryder. She had this great success whenever she was first starting out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that has diminished. I'm saying that she was able to develop a really firm foundation in her career early on. And so she gets to pick and choose these projects that she wants to be part of, things that she really believes in. Anyway, so I didn't recognize Winona Ryder. She has that amazing gift where she can totally melt into...
She's very Gary Oldman-esque.
Yes. But like... Yeah. Okay. But anyway, I was like, that's freaking Winona Ryder. I was really impressed with that.
Mm-hmm. David Harbour, who plays Hopper.
Hopper, yep.
I love him. He was actually in... Well, one of the most recent movies that he was in was
he Hellboy?
Yeah, he was Hellboy, the most recent Hellboy.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
And, dude, he got, like, jacked. He got jacked for that. So in Stranger Things, he's kind of, like, got dad bod sort of thing, where it's, as a friend of mine likes to describe it, a dad who you can see used to work out but doesn't have as much time for it anymore, so he's still strong, but he's got a bit of a belly. And it works well, so he's like, soft and comforting, but really strong.
That
but
is then a precise and cold-blooded description.
But it's true. It's true. I mean, that's what that is not an unfair description of a dad bod. I feel
I
like
gotcha.
Dad bod has been misconstrued as being, like, these very, you know, you're either, like, really, really thin, or, like, you have no, there's no muscle there at all, maybe. I like that. I like that description better. That's just for me anyway. But yeah, he got really jacked for Hellboy. And I really enjoyed that Hellboy. I also found it really revolting and gross. So I don't know how I feel about it, but I enjoyed his interpretation of Hellboy.
Okay. So that did catch me off guard. The whole time I was like, I know his voice. Where do I know it from? It's Hellboy. And it wasn't until like, I was looking, I was like, wait a minute. It just clicked. Just Hellboy? Wait a minute. All right. One thing I really liked, one of my first notes in here, Stranger Things, I wrote 8-bit music, which I have only recently discovered. Turns out I love just about anything if it's got an 8-bit kind of sound to it.
He's going to be in the new Black Widow movie. What? Sorry.
Are you?
Yes. No, not even at all. What were you saying?
I like the 8-bit music. I like that a lot. One thing, okay, in my notes I wrote government building, no, I said government restricted grounds are often left wide open.
That is kind of fair. There's not a lot of patrolling around the grounds, but I don't know, maybe they thought that because they were experimenting, the experiments were well kept and well under guard and that they really didn't need to worry about the grounds themselves since everyone was all locked up in the building. Everyone and everything.
Here's the thing, though.
Move.
Will's driving on his bike, which, by the way, different times, okay?
So the bikes. So one of the things about Stranger Things that everybody really enjoyed, particularly if you were of the either, like, as Eliza Schlesinger puts it, the elder millennial, if you were of the elder millennial generation who grew up in the mid to late 80s or prior to that. So there's a lot of homage to some of the earlier sci-fi movies like Alien, E.T. But yes, some of those earlier 80s, particularly Steven Spielberg type movies from the 80s. So the bikes were very much E.T. like.
Okay.
And even actually when he's like, when Mike is leading Eleven throughout the house and showing her things, and when she comes out later in the day when they're not there and she's looking around at stuff, is very much like in E.T., when the kids are showing E.T. how to get around the house and they have like the
Reese's pieces.
The Reese's pieces for him to follow. It's very
big,
much like that. Actually a very similar
deal.
House too.
Yeah. Big endorsement deal at the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. That makes sense.
But yeah. I thought that was very interesting. But you see,
like actually even with the way that they dress her, I'm sorry, I keep interrupting, but
okay.
I appreciate all the little, I like movies and TV shows where little Easter eggs that pay homage to other things that inspired it are sprinkled throughout, and if you are a fan of those things, you see them. So in Stranger Things, there is a lot of E.T. related stuff with Eleven, because I mean, like, they dress up E.T. like in like the wig
they
and the dress and all
that
stuff
until way later past the first three episodes.
But they do put her in the wig
eventually.
They put her in that blonde wig later, so
like,
they put her in that, and then she also ends up hidden in the closet.
Yeah.
Like, they hide E.T. in the closet. She gets hidden in the closet away from the parents or from the mom. So, yeah, there's a lot of... And then there's, like, the little sister. She sees her, and she also sees other creepy things that that the adults are not noticing. So it's very... There's a lot of similarities there that I appreciate.
Well, okay.
But that's because I'm also a movie nerd, so there you go. Yes. And a Spielberg nerd.
Okay.
Spielberg nerd.
So I have some other notes, but yeah, we got to see the monster. Which later we realize is the Demigorgon. That's revealed.
Demogorgon.
I will sound like a stabbing robot.
I'm going to make you play D&D so hard.
I'm going to...
No, it doesn't matter. I've literally never faced a Demogorgon in any game that I've ever played.
I can top you that. I've never faced a Demogorgon in real life. So, I got to see the monster a little bit there.
Okay.
Demogorgon. Right?
Yes.
Demogorgon.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then that brings us into the second episode. Couple of notes here. Let's see. Steve. Oh, yeah. Okay. Couple
love
of
Steve.
My notes for this episode are as follows. Steve is majorly aggressive.
This is true.
Worst sheriff ever.
Wait.
Not Steve? Those are unrelated. No. Steve is majorly aggressive. And
oh, okay.
Hopper. Hopper is the worst sheriff ever in episode 2.
Well, okay. Look at it this way. He is not on his A, he's not hitting his A game, but it's partially because we learn that it's because he lost his daughter died, and mm-hmm. so he's still kind of reeling from that, and he's not
that.
He's at the point, and he's also in a small town where apparently nothing happens until now, so he probably he's not fully recovered, and he's okay with that.
Other notes for that same episode: everyone in the 80s smokes if they're an adult, and that is a trope. I don't know if you're ever aware of that, but if you ever watch anything in the 80s, every single adult smokes. And if it's a kid that smokes, the kid's dealing with some kind of major life crisis. It's like, say goodbye to your childhood,
right.
Bear your dreams, and light up, because that's where we're at.
I guess you're right.
Yeah. Other notes? Let's see. And this is, I'm just taking them as I was the first watch. Mystery Girl 11, some kind of shapeshifter? ?
Okay.
And then, my immediate next note is, poor Benny! !
What?
Because I liked Benny. He was like, here's food, and I'm going to help you, and I'm not going to be creepy and
weird. Oh, yeah. Yes. I know. I always felt sorry for him, too. So he actually is in This Is Us. That actor is in This Is Us. I've not watched much of This Is Us, but I just remember a little bit, and I remember that he's in that.
I know who you're talking
See?
About. Okay.
Yeah. I just remember that he was in that, and then I saw him in Stranger Things. It was like, I know that face. Where do I know that face? So, yeah, there you go. Poor Benny.
And then
just trying to run his little roadside diner there. Being a nice guy.
Oh, dude, I knew as soon as that blonde chick with, like, the suit.
Oh.
She was like, it's after sunset. And I was like, that bitch is either a vampire or she is working with the government. And in my mind, there was no middle ground. I was like, she's a vampire or she's working with the government.
She couldn't possibly just be a nice lady?
No. Here's why. She showed up after sunset.
Yeah, that's why.
That's why. And her hair was, like, blonde and coiffed.
Mm-hmm.
I have associated that with Rita Skeeter.
That's fair.
And it's just like, no, a real social worker is going to look a little bit messed up. Just a bit.
That's fair. Yeah.
Because she's seen some things. She's like,
she knows.
I know what I'm going into. I don't need to dress up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's like, this is going to, I'm, you know, by my being there, it's going to help. Me having my hair coiffed is not going to help anything. This chick was like, she's like, I'm going to dupe poor Benny.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing, they definitely frame it like he shot himself.
I know.
And that's never resolved.
Mm-mm.
Bums me out.
No, you're right. It isn't resolved. At least not there. Not that I've noticed. And I've watched it a lot, so maybe it just hasn't stuck out to me yet. I don't know.
My last note for episode 1, though. Mm. This is all episode 1. BT dubs. The Vanishing of Will Byers. Mm-hmm. Bayers?
Yes. Byers.
Okay. My last note, and it took me a minute to kind of trace this one back. Africa by Toto is not typically makeup music. And here's the thing. Going back to what we talked about last week, Ninja Sex Party does a great cover of Africa.
I found that one, yes.
And my nieces love singing it because we do the harmonies.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really funny is I can make both my nieces crack up because we get in the second verse about, you know, like, I must do what's right, sure as Kilimanjaro rises like the Olympus of the Serengeti. And every time I look like, what does it mean? What are you talking about? What are you talking about, Toto? And I've put a lot of research into that, and I cannot figure out the specifics. If someone can, I'm willing to say that maybe I'm just an idiot. If someone can tell me the specifics of why those specific words were chosen for that specific verse, because I can't figure it out and drives me crazy. But I'll tell you one thing. I've never once listened to that song in my own time and thought, this would be perfect for a skeezy Derek kind of makeout.
It was very
moment.
Much a skeezy Derek kind of makeout moment with the lights on and the bedroom.
They were at least behind a closed door.
They were behind a closed door, but
we've discussed this. But
okay,
the point
fair enough.
But anyway, yeah. I was like, because I was watching it and I was crafting, you know, and then I looked up and I was like, you don't normally think of Africa by Toto as being like the come get it on music, especially from the 80s. There were so many other better ones, but like, as if I was there. No, I caught the tail end. But anyway, the point is, you don't know, you weren't there. But anyway, my point is, Africa by Toto, Africa in general, I just feel like I would just be listening to the lyrics, and rather than get lost in the moment, I'd just be confused. All right, so that brings us into episode 2, called The Weirdo on Maple Street. Here's one thing I do love, how the boys assess the situation with Elle, because they all have really good points, you know?
They're like, you know, she could be a crazy person, escape from the insane asylum. She just did this. And Dustin's like constantly miming, taking off his clothes.
Yeah, just pulling up the shirt.
He's so offended by that. Poor Elle. I just feel sorry for her when you consider the fact that, first of all, she was raised in this environment. We don't know much more about her background than this, but you get the impression she's been there for a while. If she's as young as she is. And the fact that she just starts taking off her clothes in front of them, she's never been taught that that's not appropriate. And it makes you go, what has she had to go through where that's a normal thing?
It does make me very uncomfortable. And that's something you do think about. It's not something that pops in your head immediately, but then later you're like, oh, that means that she's normalized it. And now, I don't want to delve into a thing because I am confident after seeing the first season, I don't think anything to that level went down, but I will say she was treated not like a person.
She was treated like a lab animal, like a lab rat.
I'd say not even like an animal per se, just like an asset just that happened to live.
Yeah, just an experiment. She is just one step up from amoebas in a jar.
I will say, okay, so Winona Ryder is Will's mother.
Yes.
Okay, and you see this, Winona Ryder is such a good actress.
I love, there's a moment, I think it's in episode 2, because the phone gets blown out.
She goes to get the new phone.
She goes to get the new phone, but then she installs the new phone, and she goes to take, she's taking the receiver. She's going to take the new phone to sit down in her chair, and the cord doesn't reach. And she does this thing that I can just straight up picture my mother doing, because my mother's also a very no-nonsense, get-it-done kind of woman. She's in the chair, and she just sort of like heel pulls her. She sits down and heel pulls the chair over to the wall. She doesn't push. She doesn't do any of that. She's like, I'm in this chair. I've got the phone. I'm not getting up. I'm pulling myself over there with my feet. I could picture my mother doing that, especially when she's on the warpath about something.
I really think we see, it's very interesting to see because it's very, very, very realistic depiction on how a mother would handle this. She's a single mother. She's doing the best she can. And this,
she's desperate.
And from her perspective, something slipped through the cracks and she just doesn't know what it is. And it's very interesting, but you see the desperation and then you see her sort of formulating a plan. And then she quickly realizes no one's going to believe her theory. Mm-hmm. And she immediately goes into this, I'm going to fix it myself kind of thing. I love when she goes to the store because her phone gets fried. She goes to the store she works at, and she says she needs the phone, and she needs a 2-week advance. And the shop clerk kind of looks at her, and I've had this conversation. But whenever she goes in there, you know, she's talking, she says, you know, I've worked holidays. I do everything I can. I've never missed a shift. I don't call out sick. My boy is missing. And I need you to be a person. And just, oh my gosh, her, like, and then I love how she's able to take you to that moment. And then immediately she's in a 2-week advance.
And this pack of cigarettes. And a pack of Camels.
And a pack of Camels. And I just love it. It's like, well done, Winona Ryder. you're just amazing. The way that the characters interact is phenomenal. Particularly the boys. The boys react in a way that is very, very realistic. And I can say this as somebody who writes for, you know, like, several different voices. I feel like I have a good grasp on how to do that. But it is insanely difficult to the point, I don't know if I could do this, to have you, for an adult to write
kids voices. It's very hard.
Not just kid voices. You have four, or at least at the time, you have three very distinct kid voices that all have their own points of view and perspective. And it's very interesting. I mean, a testament to the actors and the writers. And again, you're working with children. these little kids, I don't know how old they were. Do you know how old they were?
They were all between the ages of 12 and about 14. That the oldest of them was about 14 when they started this. So they're all, you know, between 17 and 19 right now. The oldest one is Caleb McLaughlin, who plays Lucas.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think Gatton Matarazzo. I'm not sure if I'm saying his name right. I apologize if I'm not. But the guy who plays Dustin, he's the youngest mm-hmm. of the guys.
But yeah, no, I think they did a really great job.
Oh, no. Noah, who plays Will, he's the youngest. He's only 15. It's probably because they needed him to look younger and a little bit more innocent and I hate to say easy prey, but probably the most delicate of all of them. So that's probably why he's the youngest.
They're called nabbers, okay? That's awful. Okay, Aww. The point is, I really love how you see these boys. They all have the different points of view.
Mm-hmm.
And they all, you know, like different ways to handle it. And I also love how even I consider Lucas to be the most down to earth. He's mm-hmm. the most responsible.
He is the voice of reality.
He's the voice of reality. He is the most mature,
mm-hmm.
at least on his feet, thinker.
Mm-hmm.
Dustin's
the most enthusiastic and totally into just the idea of this sort of magical person.
Dustin
strange,
does not
mysterious
need evidence.
Person.
He mm-hmm. does not need evidence. He is ready to run with whatever you tell him, and I mm-hmm. love that.
Mike's like, I have this plan, and it's going to be great, and we're going to make it happen, and you're going to stay here tonight, and you're going to go outside, and then the next morning, you're going to come knock on the door, and mom's going to let you in, and she'll figure it out. Mom will know.
I love how Elle's just, no. Like, we're not going to, yeah, you know that plan? See that? I'm not doing any of that.
Mm-hmm.
But no, okay, it really does come, like, really in the foreground whenever they're looking at their supplies. And it's like, Lucas has, he's got, like, the flashlight and the knife, and he's got the slingshot, and Dustin says, you're gonna...
It's like night vision goggles and all this stuff, and he's like, it's from Nom. This is also from Nom.
But he's like, it's like, you're gonna hit it with a slingshot. You're gonna hit the Demogorgon, right?
It's a wrist rocket.
He says, well, you're gonna hit it with a wrist rocket. And I love the two sentences he says. First off, it's not... a slingshot, it's a wrist rocket.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, Demogorgons aren't real. And I love those two. It's like, yes, this ridiculous plan, and here's why it's going to work. And also, you're an idiot, because the crux of this plan doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But okay, so I also love how they especially Dustin, you know, Dustin's, Lucas says, we got all this useful stuff, and Dustin's like, and I have snacks, like any young boy would.
You need energy for an adventure.
And he says, for stamina.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that.
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile...
He doesn't bring good snacks, though. They're all just candy and junk.
There's a banana
okay,
in there.
Okay, I didn't see
That's
the banana.
That's potassium.
Right, you're right. You're right, I'm wrong. You're right.
Purple
is
a fruit. Everyone knows that. All right, so... All right, yeah, I wrote that. I love the boys handling, like, trying to assess the situation. Should I stay or should I go now? That is a great mm-hmm. scene. I love any time where they use a through... Any time a writer uses a through thread that's a piece of music that plays mm-hmm. throughout, and you see what it meant at the beginning of this thread,
mm-hmm.
and now you see what it is now. And I do love that. Also, particular love in my heart for that particular song. And ooh. I will say this, it's been a little bit altered now, because I know... Like, you know, throughout the whole mm-hmm. first season, you know, it does come back. But anyway, no, I love, love, love scenes with that song, because it's really interesting to see how many different ways that can be, like, mm-hmm. used and molded. And, like, I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, okay, this next note says, you shouldn't like things because someone says to. And then I wrote, concept of our show, ?
That's fair
enough. If memory serves, they're talking about, maybe it's like Nancy's party or something.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's not, well, not Nancy's party, but the party she's invited to at Steve's house.
Well, no, it's before the party, and Barbara's kind of on her case about it. And she's like, well, I like this because these guys like this. And I'm like, this is an after-school special, guys. And I knew right away. Here's what I knew. Nancy was not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But Barb was gonna be gone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we get towards the end of the episode. And what is Will's older brother's name? His name is Jonathan. Okay, so when Jonathan is out looking for Will, mm-hmm. unbeknownst to him, the other boys are.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got his camera. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, I found to be a believable camera, but I remember thinking it was very expensive, and he does treat it as a very, very expensive piece of equipment. Mm-hmm. And that does bum me out when later.
Oh.
But here's the thing. He takes those pictures at night with that camera, which is a nice camera.
Mm-hmm.
But at night, in the 80s.
Yeah.
And yet they come out crystal freaking clear.
Yeah.
And I was like, there is no way on this entire planet of Earth mm-hmm. that those pictures came out to that quality.
And I mean, you could say that the backyard was really well lit and all this stuff. It's really not, though. You're only really getting light from the pool and a little bit of light from the house and maybe some floodlights around the backyard. Yeah,
there was no flash.
There's not really much.
There's not much of a zoom.
Uh-uh.
There's, and yet,
I also appreciate the fact that, so, in that episode, he takes the picture of Barb. He's taking pictures of Nancy and all that stuff, and then they go inside after jumping in the pool, and Barb's still sitting out there, and she's sitting on
the
diving board, and he takes that picture of her, but it's, there is a significant lull between him taking that picture of her and when she gets attacked at the end of episode 2.
Uh-huh.
He's not taking any more pictures unless he just does and we're not paying any attention and it's not really
touched on
because then you see a picture later
where the Demogorgon's like kind of in uh-huh. the frame.
So unless, and that thing, it's like, if I remember correctly, the Demogorgon's mouth is open, like it's ready to attack, and
her blood.
I don't think so. To be fair, every time I watch that episode, I sort of analyze that picture to try to see if I can see more of it. So it may be that my brain is filling in blanks that are not actually there. But anyway, just my impression in rewatching it the other day was he takes that picture of her before her blood hits the water, which is what
calls
the Demogorgon.
By the way.
But in the picture, apparently the Demogorgon's already there. So it's like, wait.
She cuts her hand.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to do the beer.
Do the beer, yeah.
Here's the thing. She cuts her hand, and she's like, hey, do you have any, like, tissues? Or, like, I need to go to the bathroom to, like, kind of patch this up. And then the others are swimming.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have that encounter in the hallway. She's like, hey, do you want to, like, not go and sleep with your boyfriend? And she's like, no, I'm not going to go sleep with my boyfriend. That's almost word for word.
It's totally word for yeah. word.
Like, with the high-pitched thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know why mm-hmm. that's my voice of Nancy. But
mm-hmm.
she's like, no, I'm going to go. And, like, don't judge me. And Nancy's like, no, or Barb's like, no, what should I do? It's fine. Anyway, so she goes out, and she's still bleeding profusely. Okay,
it's a big old cut.
I mean, it like drops in there. Have you ever had a cut and dipped it into the water of a pool? Because that has happened to me. It wasn't on purpose, but like my parents have a pool, and accidents will happen, mm-hmm. especially whenever you are, you know, stupid. The point is,
did Demogorgons come after you?
I don't want to talk about it.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But the point is. Drips from diving board.
Mm-hmm.
You could tell just the volume of it. It's like, that seems like an alarming
amount of blood.
There was something wrong with Barb going in there because
Barb's got some blood problems.
She was like Romanoff level hemophiliac mm-hmm. because dang. And then my last note.
Romanoff level hemophiliac.
Look it up.
No, I know what you're talking about and it's funny. It's unfortunate, but so it's funny.
Can you read my last note here?
You wrote, when you have sex, your least popular friend gets eaten. Frowny face. This is true.
This is true. And then I wasn't 100% sure, mm-hmm. but then that's where episode 2 ends. Episode 3 starts with Nancy getting it on.
Yep.
And Barb
being taken off.
And so then can you read my first note for episode 3?
Yep, sex equals friends getting eaten. Yes. Yes. So it is true.
If there's any kids listening, that's the takeaway. From a kid's perspective...
Bad stuff's gonna happen.
From a kid's perspective, if you have sex, one of your least popular friends will die. So you either need to be very popular...
All of your friends need to be popular.
I mean, I
guess
so. They
need to be very popular. Like, Heather's level. Everybody's on the same
Heather's
keel.
Level to a competitive level. Because, yeah. you know, like... Because I didn't say your unpopular friends will get eaten... Your least popular friend will get eaten.
So, there's...
so if you're going to have sex, you best be prepared
to lose a friend.
I'm just saying, you know.
It's rough.
One day, a Demogorgon could come after you, and you're like, which one of my friends is getting it on and condemning me to death?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Here's another fun fact about the Demogorgon.
Why is it so hard to say?
It's a demigorgon.
Dem-a-gorgon.
Demogorgon.
You know what? Demogorgon. You say it however you want to say it.
Anyway, the point is, I was like, that's a pretty cool monster design, except when you do finally see him, and the face opens, I thought it was like a flower. And every time I saw the face open for the rest of the season, I would go, Daisy Face! And it does take away...
Old Daisy Face McGee.
No, it was always in that same thing. Like, I remember holding, like, my cat. I was, like, holding Bones. And I'm like, oh, cool. And he, like, screeches, Daisy Face! And Bones is just... He's like, geez, you're weird, Mom.
I mean, cats judge. Cats they do know. Judge. They see all the stuff that we don't want anyone else to see.
That's how that goes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, what are your overall impressions of the show?
Okay. I came for the recommendation. I stayed for the for the people.
Mm-hmm.
Not the actors, although love the actors. Mm-hmm. MVP, hands down, Winona Ryder. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's great. Some are better than others, but Winona Ryder is leaps and bounds above. I'm sorry, guys, but she is.
She's fantastic.
She's fan-friggin-tastic. Anyway, I will say this. I have been right in predictions probably about two-thirds of the time, mm-hmm. and whenever I'm not right, I'm very pleasantly surprised.
Awesome. Awesome.
I feel they do kind of win a little bit. Leaning on the 80s tropes, a little heavy.
Well, this was the first season, and that was and also part of the draw.
It's a stylistic choice.
Yeah.
And from what I've seen from season two, I do like how they're aging the characters very subtly.
Mm-hmm.
I think the guy, Steve, mm-hmm. looks like Ben Schwartz.
I love
Steve. He looks like baby Ben Schwartz.
He's adorable. I love Steve. His character. And then how his relationship actually develops with Dustin as time goes on. It's their friendship. Their friendship develops, and it's the best bro friendship in the show. I love it.
If I can get past that one thing that's going to be happening in probably the episode I'm stopped at,
okay.
Then I'll come back. But here's the deal.
Okay, but who would you recommend this to? Anyone in particular?
To be honest,
yeah?
No. But here's why. I don't know a single person who has not been railing me to watch this show.
Fair enough.
That's probably... poor phrasing, has not been hounding me to watch this show.
Railing you.
Thank you. But the point is, for people that, I don't know, I think it might be a little bit too intense for the younger audience.
It is pretty, it's pretty intense.
And at this point, I would say the younger audience is probably the only ones who haven't seen it.
Maybe.
And for good reason.
Yeah. Okay. Then, instead of recommending it to anyone, are you glad it was recommended to you and that you gave it a shot? Since
definitely.
You were very much against it to begin with.
Very much, yeah. You practically had to like duct tape me to the armchair to watch
I
it.
Didn't.
It's I did. So I think it's a great show.
It is a great show.
I was not expecting to like it half as much as I did.
And you liked it.
I did like it. Mm-hmm. I still do. I want to see what's going to happen with as the boys get older. I want to see how Eleven gets, like, more acclimated. I want to see what happens because I think Nancy's going to be a major player.
She's awesome. I love Nancy.
Yeah. I don't know what to make of Steve yet. I want Steve to stick around, but mainly because, again, he looks like baby Ben Schwartz. He's so adorable.
Steve is the best. Steve is one of my favorites.
But, yeah, I'm definitely coming back. All right. Let's talk about a couple of things. Okay. So, here's the thing. We have had our social media up for several weeks.
Yes.
Okay. We have been getting some comments and questions. We have been getting some recommendations.
What?
I know. So
it's like that's the title of our show or something. What?
It is. It's crazy.
Oh, my God.
So, here's the thing. What our listeners might not know is our Leah is actually a really, really great actress.
Well,
subsequently...
thank you.
We have lost her for a week at least. I know that she's going to be coming up. You have your acting job?
Yeah.
Coming up?
Yes.
Okay. So no details on that. Not yet. I get it. Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
That being said, we are trying to figure out exactly when we're going to be recording because our plan is we wanted to try to do it at least once a week. Which mm-hmm. we know. So, we've been getting some recommendations, and so coming up soon, just to give you guys an opportunity to participate, maybe, you know, have some questions or comments ready for us, ready to go for the episodes. And again, you can email, Twitter, probably some other things that I don't know about. You can send all those in.
Smoke signals, pigeons. I definitely take what is it, via fox, as in like in Robin Hood Men in Tights when they send the message via fox.
To fox them?
Yeah, to fox them.
Yeah.
And it makes dolphin noises.
I won't do EVP messages again, not after Michael Keaton. But the point is, we have been getting some recommendations coming up soon. We just don't know the exact dates. We are going to be going over what year is that movie? Because we found out, was it 94?
Yeah, it was 94.
Okay, 1994 movie, It's Pat.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely look that up.
Which is surprisingly ahead of its time when you really break down what it's about, which I find it's delightful. I'm excited about this one.
I haven't seen it in nigh 2 decades, mm-hmm. and Lee's never seen it at all.
Mm-hmm.
This is a recommendation from a friend of the show, Mr. David, who sent us in a recommendation and also had some comments for last week's episode as well.
Awesome. We're also going to have My Hero Academia.
Yes.
Which is our first anime. Also, our first totally blind recommendation, because neither one of us has seen this, but I, in particular, have been having it mentioned to me by some friends of mine and some kids that I know, folks that have been watching it a lot lately. I've actually heard a lot of kids, because I teach, like, special effects makeup classes. I'm an actor. We have to feed ourselves somehow when the jobs are not there.
Love it.
So I've been teaching special effects makeup classes, and a lot of kids have been like, yeah, I want to learn how to do a cosplay to look for this character from My Hero Academia. And I'm going, what is that? And so they said it's really good. So this is first anime, first blind rec.
Yeah, first blind recommendation, first anime. Here's the thing. This is going to be the first anime ever for me to actually sit down and watch. Yeah.
What?
And
I ahead of you by like 2 animes?
Probably.
What?
Have
is
you watched
this?
2 animes?
I have.
Then that is the mathematical formula, yes. all right. Also, Bennett has recommended Desperate Measures. This is straight up a completely blind recommendation.
Ooh, we have 2?
Neither Leah nor I has ever heard of this movie. And
it
so
looks
far,
good. It's got Michael Keaton in it.
So far we know Michael Keaton. We know
he looks nice and dangerous.
Andy Garcia.
Yeah.
Brian Cox.
Yep.
And Marcia Gay Harden.
Mm-hmm.
And Eric King. That's all we're gonna look up. We might look up like little IMDb synopsis.
Yeah.
Not like synopsis, but like the little description.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it. We're going in blind.
All right.
Also, because we wanted to make sure that people understood we wanted to do more than just film and television.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to be taking on Banjo-Kazooie, released mm-hmm. in 1998 by Rareware. It's a video game for the N64 console.
Mm-hmm.
I love this game. I recommended it to
me, and I've never played it because I'm not really a gamer. I want to be a gamer, but I didn't grow up playing video games, so I'm sort of learning now. It's a fun time. I enjoy it. It is a challenge that I never expected to have when I was older. So,
yeah,
I like it. I'm excited to play Banjo-Kazooie
and
fail miserably, but then laugh about it and then get better each time I fail.
I'm excited. And then, of course, we got a beautiful email from one of our listeners. Sorry, we got a great email from one of our listeners who recommends Supernatural.
Freaking yeah! That's one of my favorite shows! Oh my gosh!
And we're going to go into that email.
Oh, we will go into that email. Deep.
Because, yeah, well that, okay. But reading the email.
It's my favorite show.
It's a really interesting.
I'm excited.
The reason why she recommended it is very interesting, but we're going to get there. So yeah, coming soon, Supernatural, It's Pat, Banjo-Kazooie,
My Hero Academia, and Desperate Measures.
Desperate Measures.
Woot, 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 woot.
We will get you a better, like, idea of exactly when these things are going to be, but I believe next week we're doing It's Pat?
No, next week is My Hero Academia.
Next week is My Hero Academia.
Mm-hmm.
All right, but you know what's kind of coming up. We're going to try to keep you guys, you know, posted in the loop, just kind of give you guys an idea of what's coming. We'll get you some more definite dates in the, you know, coming up.
All right.
So I think of all things, we need to make sure that we understand the lessons.
Okay.
All right. Lessons are pretty simple. At no point be the least popular friend in your group.
Fair enough.
And, you know.
Or you will get eaten.
If you are the least popular, then you need to be the one having sex.
Mm-hmm.
So that way you're not eaten.
That is such a bad lesson. That's a bad lesson.
It's not a great lesson. Anyway, what else did we learn? Winona Ryder is awesome.
She is the bomb diggity.
And more importantly, the most important lesson.
Yeah?
It is pronounced Demogorgon.
Good job. I'm proud of you.
And I learned that because I watched a show, and I watched a show because it was recommended to me by a friend.
It was.
Demogorgon.
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 Now you've got me saying it wrong.
Bye, guys. Demogorgon. Bye.